Years ago that Srila Prabhupada appeared 1896. If you go to the history, while in Germany the X-ray, the whole idea of X-ray was invented by the scientist Roentgen. If you move to Italy, that was a time where 1896, where radioactivity was first invented to the world. In America, in 1896, that was a time where first time Mr. Henry Ford took his motor vehicle on the streets of Detroit. The Motor Ford Company was introduced, the first motor car was introduced in 1896 in the streets of Detroit. And incidentally, it is also the year 1896, very strangely, that the Indian cinema started. The first movie which was shown in Indian cinema, and incidentally, strange, it was in Mumbai and Kolkata, parallelly. Because Calcutta was the capital of India. And while all these things were happening in the background, we have in 1896 the most wonderful appearance in this place, which is a small suburb in Calcutta called Toliganj, where Abhay Charan Srila Prabhupada appeared. He went on, he stayed for a few days at his, as the custom is, in the mother's house, and then he went on. Prabhupada, we all know, is the dearmost son of Lord Hari. And after staying a few days in his mother's house, he went on to stay in his parents' house, where Gaur Mohan Day and Rajni were staying. And that incidentally was 151 Harrison Road. The dear son of Hari, Prabhupada was staying there. So just a very, very auspicious time, where the world over, various things are going on, but Prabhupada, apparently Krishna was arranging a very, very special soul to take birth and do some wonderful things while radioactivity was going on, while the X-ray was going on, the Indian cinema was going on. Here was Srila Prabhupada, who also appeared in this, on this earth. So we are here to commemorate this very, very auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada's appearance, and we will have various speakers coming in making the offering, but we all actually can make our offering. All of us can make our offering by a very simple thing of removing your mobile phones and making sure that it is on a silent mode. Because what's going to happen, my dear friends, what's going to really happen today is we are going on a wonderful journey of hearing about a very, very important, I would say one of the most important persons in our life. We're going to hear about him for the next 2 hours or so. And these various speakers are going to take us on this wonderful journey through their thoughts, through their words, through their sentiments. And we don't want any mundane situation to really bring us back. So let us all really be completely 100% present, and let's not have any distraction, and let us all really use these 2 hours to really glorify our dear Srila Prabhupada in a most wonderful way. We are most fortunate to also have the wonderful association of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in our midst also. So it really makes it more special. So at this point in time, we would like to request His Grace Shyamananda Prabhu to kindly come forward and offer the Vyas Puja book to Srila Prabhupada and Shivaram Prabhu. Please sing the appropriate bhajan for the same.
Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Kuruida Se Trina Peka Vati. कृपा बिंदु दिया और ही दासे दिन पे कहती सकाल सहाने बल दिया करो
Hare Krishna. So we will call out devotees' names and a very, very sincere request to the devotees who are making the offering to please be consciously aware that you have to restrict it to 3 minutes so that we can have more devotees as planned to speak. So we request His Grace Damodar Prabhu to kindly make your offering to Srila Prabhupada, and Ras Parayan Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna, dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. I am very grateful to be given this opportunity. I am just actually remembering His Grace Srinadji Prabhu, who would often begin the offering session, give the first offering, and I am deeply missing him also. So I would like to dedicate my offering to Prabhupada, to His Grace Srinadji Prabhu. Often we hear of the talk of being human. We see so many devotees wearing the t-shirts of being human, implying being caring, compassionate and so on. So I was just reflecting how in this human form of life, Srila Prabhupada, you have actually given us a chance to perfect the human form of life and given a much deeper meaning of being human. So I would just like to speak of the 5 qualities represented by the 5 letters of human which we learn from you, Srila Prabhupada. So the H of the human stands for humility. Srila Prabhupada, you have taught us the importance of this most important Vaishnava quality, humility. Although your writings were appreciated by your own spiritual master, by your many scholarly god brothers, but still you would often consider yourself to be just like a peon delivering the letter and delivering the message of the parampara. So in this way, through your own example, you have taught us the importance of the quality of humility. Secondly, the letter U shows us, you demonstrated the quality of unity. You emphasize that how we will show our love for you, not by our accomplishment, not by how perfectly we do our particular service, but by how we remain united in your service, how we cooperate. Then you taught us the importance of mutually caring for each other, mutual care of the letter M. I was just hearing recently a lecture of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. Maharaj was saying that how once Prabhupada was sitting in New Vrindavan and there was one lady disciple of Prabhupada, Gokulasya Priya Mataji, and Prabhupada noted that she didn't had warm clothing, it was winters. And then Prabhupada called the leader and he told that, look, this devotee is not having any warm clothes. The devotees may not ask, but it is your duty to see that they are provided for. You have to care. And Gurudev insisted that that how the devotees, they may not care for themselves. Devotees are usually selfless. They want to do selfless service. But it is our duty to take care of the devotees, mutually care for each other. That's the quality of mutual care represented by the letter M. Then the letter A of the human represents appreciation. how much Prabhupada himself appreciated all the devotees. We know that one line of appreciation from Prabhupada's lotus mouth would give devotees strength to go on with their Krishna consciousness for years. Even just to see a broad smile on Prabhupada's face, or just to have his eyes widening up in appreciation, the devotees would want to give their life also to see that pleasure on Prabhupada's face. So, you deeply appreciate it, your devotees, and taught us how to actually be grateful and appreciate all the things that the devotees, they do for us. And lastly, the quality of being non-judgmental, represented by the letter N. How often or how easily we may actually pass some judgment upon the devotees. But you taught us how Krishna loves his devotees even with all their shortcomings. And in that beautiful purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, you wrote that how even for those who are in the renounced order of life, if they are unable to continue fighting with Maya, they can change their situation, but continue to fight with Maya. Any devotees who may have left any time due to whatever reason, if the devotee would come to you, you would actually drown him in your affection. So in this way, by your example, by your teachings, dear Srila Prabhupada, you have shown us the much deeper meaning of being human or being a perfect human. And you said, my devotees will be gentlemen. Right? My devotees will be the most gentlemen. That means the perfect human and not simply on a superficial platform as we understand. So I want to express my thanks and gratitude for giving me this opportunity to perfect my human form of life and helping me to understand the deeper meaning of being human. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Damodar Prabhu, for your wonderful offering. Srila Prabhupada, one of the sannyasis who had, as he quoted the example of sannyasi who cannot continue, one sannyasi who had couldn't continue, who met Prabhupada with his wife and child, came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, will you reject me? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as sannyasi, rejected Chota Haridas. Will you also reject me? So Prabhupada made a beautiful statement. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. He can reject. But I am an insignificant servant of God. I need everyone's assistance to serve this mission. So that was the very, very human aspect of Srila Prabhupada, which was wonderfully brought about by Damodar Prabhu. Rastran Prabhu, before you make your offering, I would request Brad Sundar Prabhu to come forward and be ready after Rastran Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I am very, very grateful to the temple management for giving me this opportunity, and I am really humbled. I know anybody can make an offering to Srila Prabhupada, but in this esteemed assembly, given this opportunity, I am really humbled. I am not at all qualified, but I am very grateful to the temple management. This is my humble offering to you, Srila Prabhupada. When we think of Srila Prabhupada, naturally so many qualities of yours flash through our mind, such as how you exhibited patience when no one was showing interest in Krishna consciousness. And when practically everyone started showing interest in Krishna consciousness, you created the legacy which continues decade after decades and will continue generation after generations. Wittiness and humor that made all sorts of people comfortable in Krishna consciousness. Boldness and courage that made scientists and reporters awe and revered you, Srila Prabhupada. Enthusiasm that made everyone wonder, how is this possible? But your determination cleared out all questions and doubts in due course of time. Whatever qualities that we hear in Shastras, Srila Prabhupada, you personally exhibited through your own example. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for not just showing us the qualities, but you have given us the quality lifestyle. Srila Prabhupada, you created the space and engagement for baby in the womb, and one who is approaching the tomb, and everyone in between. You have many more qualities which cannot be described in just 3 minutes. And today, being the most special day, I wonder that just by glorifying is the way to express my gratitude and love and please you on your appearance day? I think answer is very clear, that just by glorifying alone is not an expression of love, but actually doing and contributing to mission is something tangible. But for a person like me, contributing is still far out. Yet I want to show my love and gratitude to you, Srila Prabhupada, and I wonder how. So on this auspicious day, Srila Prabhupada, please grant me one of the many qualities that you have, and that is cooperation. So I can continue to show my love to you, as this was one of your last instructions. You can show your love to me by how you cooperate with each other. It seems very simple, yet extremely difficult to implement. But if I continue to keep the goal of my life is to love you and please you, then by your mercy, O Srila Prabhupada, I hope to continue to nurture the quality of cooperation and grow in my Krishna consciousness. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Rasparayan Prabhu. Request Rasundar Prabhu to kindly make his offering and request Radha Krishna Prabhu
Hare Krishna.
To be ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, in so many years of service at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, I could feel that you are present over there on a daily basis and directing the activities. It was way back in 1998, the first yatra after the hospital inauguration was there. It was to Vrindavan. And I tricked myself that between me and Madhavanand Prabhu, there was a kind of understanding that one of us should be going. And he came to me and he said that if I don't go to Vrindavan, I will bloop. I couldn't even understand what is the meaning of bloop. And then I booked the ticket for my family and all of us went to Delhi. And then the matter came up before Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, said that you should have to be back in the hospital. So I went there for a day to Vrindavan. And we were at Bandirvan on the second day. And as I was asked to go, I approached Maharaj. And I was shedding tears because that was my first visit to Vrindavan. And Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada is there. Go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. That is Vrindavan for you. And that was in fact created a deep impression on me. And subsequently several things. I would like to quote this particular incident. Way back in 2000, I was going for a benchmarking to Pune, one of the hospitals. And I told Raghunath Prabhu, who was at the helm of affairs at that time, that we have just reserved 15 lakhs. There is a payment that will come about 7.5 lakhs for the loan. So please don't release it. And 28th I went, 29th evening by the time I reached, and 30th when I attended the office, he has already used all the money. And I was terribly in short of funds. I closed the office at 5 p.m. I was upset with Raghunath Prabhu, came and offered my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, and said, Prabhupada, please bail me out of this situation. At that moment, I could see that Prabhupada is reciprocating, but I could not understand how it will materialize. Next day, the checks worth of 7.5 lakhs will hit, and there is a huge amount of payments that were in front of us. Suddenly, at 8 p.m. in the night, Krishna Chandra Prabhu calls, and he says that about 2 years back we made an application and somebody has given a check of 7.25 lakhs. Can you please collect it? That day, dear Prabhupada, I realized that you are in charge of the hospital and you are directing the affairs of the hospital. And that gave me a lot of solace and also helped me to come out of this fact that I am in charge of finance and managing the activities. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for personally exhibiting your compassion and also giving us direction at the time of need. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Let me remain always grateful to you.
Thank you, Vraja Sundar Prabhu, for this wonderful offering on Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Yes, Prabhupada is in charge of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. There are so many people who actually come and say that, you know, this person sitting on the ground floor, he actually walks around with his stick. And in the night time, there was a nurse who was supposed to be on duty. The nurse was sleeping. She was not supposed to sleep. The nurse was sleeping, and this was the confession of the nurse. They said, this person came up and woke and said, hey, why you are sleeping? If you have nothing to do, come up. And he took her to the fifth floor, and that used to be the library at that time. If you have nothing to do, read these books. And he showed the books. Swami, yes, Prabhupada is present in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and he is in charge of the hospital. Thank you very much, Vraja Sundar Prabhu, for sharing this wonderful offering. And we request Radha Krishna Prabhu to kindly make your offering. And Kalindi Mataji, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. When Malviki completed the compilation of Ramayana, he presented it to Narada Muni. Naradji saw the Ramayana, read it, went through it, and he said, it's good. Valmiki was a bit little taken aback, and he said, good? He said, yes, because the Ramayana written by Hanumanji is better than this. Out of curiosity, Valmiki went to Kadali One, met Hanumanji, and requested him to show him the Ramayana which he had written. It was written on 7 large banana leaves. Valmikiji read the Ramayana. It was beautiful in text, meter, poetry. He started weeping. Hanumanji asked him, is my Ramayana not good? Why are you weeping? He said, it is so good that people will not read my Ramayana. So Hanumanji said, oh, let me do something. He cut off those 7 plantain leaves and he said, since for you it is more important that people read your Ramayana, for me it was only important that they hear the glories of Lord Ramchandra. Hanumanji was not at all interested in taking any credit. Srila Prabhupada, this is what you did throughout your life. You did not want to take any credit for whatever you did. Your disciples wanted to name the society after your name, but you said no. This is for Krishna's glory. And even the Bhagavad Gita which you wrote, you did not say it is Bhagavad Gita by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You said it is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Radha Krishna Prabhu. Kalidhi Mataji, kindly make your offering and request Vamsidhar Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Hare Krishna. I was just reading my anecdote that after Prabhupada made so many Westerners his disciples, he started traveling in India along with his disciples. He came to big cities, he had pandal programs. He went to Delhi, he went to Madras, he went to Mumbai. And everywhere his Western disciples are traveling with him. Once he visited Amritsar, and he was being given a tour of the city. So they were walking through the streets and they were passing by a very crowded bazaar. And one very tiny Krishna temple was there in one corner. So since it came in their way, so Prabhupada decided that we will visit this temple. We have a darshan of Krishna deity and we'll move further. So they entered the temple, and as soon as the pujari who was there in the temple saw Prabhupada and with his Western disciples, he was very impressed, and immediately impromptu he started doing aarti of the deity. And disciples were observing things around. They felt that this temple is so tiny, it's not so neat, clean, and things are kept in a very untidy way. And it's not, pujari doesn't seem to have much good standards to worship the deity. And in between this pujari was, he was doing the aarti, and he was doing the aarti of the Lord, and in between he was smiling and giving big smiles to Prabhupada and his disciples. And then when the time came to offer water, he literally took water and threw every, we usually sprinkle the water on everybody, but he literally threw water on their face. So Prabhupada didn't say anything. He had darshan, he started walking. Once they finished their walk and they sat in the car, one of the disciples said, "Prabhupada, I have a question." So Prabhupada said, "Just wait for some time, we'll discuss later." And after a few minutes, Prabhupada told him that, "Do you want to ask me about the pujari?" So he said, "Yes, Prabhupada, I was just thinking whether the way he was worshipping, whether it was bona fide, and whether Krishna will really accept offerings which are not done when it is not up to the mark." So Prabhupada's answer was that he is a very sincere soul, and though he is not offering, his offerings may not be up to our standards in Krishna consciousness, but he is a sincere soul and still Krishna accepts his offering. Our duty is not to judge whether someone is doing his worship according to rules and regulation as set by us. Our duty is to be strict with ourselves and follow the principles which are laid over by previous acharyas, and follow it full-heartedly, and that's the way we are supposed to do. So I was just thinking that after reading this anecdote, that so fortunate Prabhupada's disciples in initial days, actually Prabhupada personally actually taught them to do everything in Krishna consciousness: how to clean, how to cook, how to dress, how to worship, how to write, how to manage, how to live in Varnashram Dharma, everything. And because of preaching for so many years, I also came in touch with Krishna consciousness. I was preached by his disciple and his grand disciples, and I had fortune of entering moment of Krishna consciousness. And I felt very similar, that my condition is very similar to this pujari who is just doing out of some vague ideas about worship of Krishna, without much, having much understanding of what I am doing and why I am doing and how I am supposed to do. So as a typical Indian, there is general feeling that just going to temple is a very good feel factor in life, and you should visit and then forget about it. If we leave this temple, then people outside, they do not actually fathom the idea that principles of Krishna consciousness can become integral part of our life, and we actually can practice Krishna consciousness living in a household life. So this was taught to us by so many inspirational examples of his disciples and his grand disciples. And I am still learning after so many years of being in Krishna consciousness. I am still having many baby steps. I still very often fall, again get up, again fall, again get up. But my extreme fortune is there, Srila Prabhupada, to be amongst the inspiration of your disciples and your grand disciples. And I treasure it so much. And Prabhupada taught that best way to serve Krishna is to serve by Shreya. What is Shreya Machara Sada? Prane Arthe Dhiya Vacha. By your life, by your money, by your intelligence and by your speech. This is the best way you can serve Krishna. And I am praying that at least one of them way I can serve Krishna in this life, then my life will be perfect. So I am very, in humble way today, Srila Prabhupada, I am praying to you that to keep me always in this midst of this association of your disciples and your grand disciples, and whatever needs to be done to become insignificant instrument in this mission of Krishna consciousness, please give me determination and enthusiasm to do so. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kalindi Madhuji. Bamsida Prabhu, please, your offering, please. And request Radha Vallabh Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisance, Srila Prabhupada. How glorious to you. In today's world of hypocrisy and scandal, we remember Srila Prabhupada's pure qualities and his example of genuine spiritual leadership. His divine grace, who successfully distributed the message of Lord Shri Krishna throughout the world, was not an ordinary conditioned soul governed by the harsh laws of material nature. Although he may have apparently exhibited commonplace characteristics, it is evident through careful study of his life that Srila Prabhupada perfectly displayed the qualities of a pure devotion of Lord Shri Krishna. The Vedic literature states that only one who is free from material bondage can possess these qualities in full. Such a great soul is rarely found within this material realm, and owing to his unparalleled purity and exalted status as an intimate association of the Supreme Lord, he is worshipable by the entire world. Following are some of the qualities of a pure devotee so eminently exemplified by Srila Prabhupada. Merciful. The ultimate expression of mercy is to freely afford everyone the opportunity to develop pure love of Godhead. This Srila Prabhupada did by opening over 100 temples, printing millions of books, and sending his disciples all over the world to teach the science of Krishna consciousness. His distribution of mercy manifests naturally as a result of his heartfelt compassion for the long-suffering conditioned souls. His mercy fell everywhere like pleasing rain upon the burning hearts of this age. When Srila Prabhupada lectured during the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, he would often tell his listeners, "I have come to your country not to take anything but simply to give." Those who were honest and sincere were able to sense Srila Prabhupada's unalloyed desire to bestow upon the highest form of mercy, and directed by Krishna within their hearts, they voluntarily placed themselves under his guidance and protection. Although Srila Prabhupada is now gone from our material vision, his mercy is still available. A liberated soul is not bound by time and space, and neither is his mercy. One only has to open up one's heart to receive this benediction, which is being distributed freely to everyone. And other qualities like truthfulness, magnanimous, without material possession, and desireless, indifferent to material acquisition. I'd like to conclude, Srila Prabhupada. Yesterday, it was a wonderful festival, and lot of VIPs came. And as it was percolating through your mercy, one of the richest person who was here, he was not there, but his entire family was there. And your great disciple, you know, my wonderful spiritual master, entertained each and every one of them in their room and was asking for each one's individual name and gave the journey book and which touched their heart. And today the gentleman called me and thanked me, and he was crying over the phone that I missed this opportunity. I said, "The opportunity is available to you." And he said one thing very clearly after seeing the book: "I am very grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Such a old person did so much, you know, single-handedly. And very, very grateful to you, Srila Prabhupada. And with all my sincerity, seriousness, cooperation and no ulterior motive, I would like to serve your mission till the last breath of my life and serve my spiritual master in whatever way I can. And koi ichha nahi." With that, I would like to end this. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, the manager.
Thank you very much, Vamsida Prabhu. Yes, we had a wonderful Janmashtami. By the mercy of Prabhupada, this Janmashtami festival was celebrated, so many places. I just have a few friends who were in different parts of the world. For example, in London, because of Prabhupada's mercy, Janmashtami, you know, they had minimum, they are still counting, but they had minimum 70,000 devotees are coming at Bhaktivedanta Manor itself. We don't know what the count in Suvo Street. In Ukraine, which practically there is no Indian community sitting there, but by Mercy of Prabhupada's disciples, on the day of Janmashtami, they had 8,000 people into coming for Janmashtami festival. And thousands and thousands of people have come to various temples in the world because of Prabhupada's mercy. So yes, Pramsar Prabhu, he has really created a revolution and really introduced Krishna consciousness in the most amazing way, which was never done. Na bhuto, na bhavishyati. So yes, I request His Grace Radha Valla Prabhu to kindly make his offering. And in the meantime, we request Shyamananda Prabhu to be ready. Hare Krishna.
I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada through his books way back, some 20 years back. And when I was reading, I was trying to understand this world, this creation and all. It was very nice. I was reading the book called The Science of Self-Realization. And after some time, His Holiness Sadhana Swami, he was there in our campus and he was speaking. He spoke the exact thing that I read in the book. So I felt a strong connection. And then I read Prabhupada's biography. It was a small book that in those days available, one volume. And when I read that, I felt quite inspired to do something for this ISKCON moment. His dedication, his sacrifice was like very inspiring. And that was just the beginning, but as I spent more time here, then I realized Prabhupada's contribution is unlimited. For example, I come from a very traditional background, like my mother's village is very remote. And I remember in those villages, every house, kitchen is, you know, every day washed with cow dung, every day. There is no question of any non-veg item entering those kitchens. Right here, I'm speaking about some 40 years back. And when I came to cities, the people moved from village to cities, they moved away from the tradition and all this non-vegetarian dishes started entering the kitchen. And nobody realizes what kind of mistakes happening. And in that kind of environment, when I was here, I started cooking for my sick devotees, many other devotees, I started realizing that how Srila Prabhupada has brought religion back to the kitchen. Because practically, the religion breaks in the kitchen, at the beginning. Srila Prabhupada in places like USA, you know, America, Europe, all the places where people don't know what is a vegetarian diet at all, in such places, he brought pure vegetarian Mahaprasad of Krishna into everybody's home. So, when I thought about that, I was thinking, what a powerful thing Prabhupada has done. You know, what to speak of living meat, people can't even live onion, garlic, you know. In that kind of situation, he has practically created a revolution in the kitchen. Unfortunately, I got services in kitchen so much. Damodar was sitting here. Together we did a lot of service, Gaurang Prabhu also. And I feel very grateful for all this situation. And right now we're trying to again help. Well, I'm trying a little bit of outreach through which I'm trying to again teach cooking and all. A little bit traveling, I've seen that kitchen, if the kitchen slows down, then religion also slows down. That's my little bit of understanding. So, with all the blessing of Srila Prabhupada's blessing, we try to trying to preach through this service. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Radha Valla Prabhu. Yes, of course, ours is a kitchen religion. And many, many times when devotees sit together and they're talking, and after hours they realize what was the major part of their discussion. And we find, what was the discussion majorly? It's around prasad. And also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is considered to be the postgraduate study of scriptures. It talks pages and pages after Prasad. So yes, Prabhupada got this whole kitchen religion and spread all over the world. Thank you very much. Request Shaman Prabhu to kindly make his offering. And Yuga Avatar Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. This Sunday, Radhanath Maharaj, while giving his class, made a remark about Srila Prabhupada on Jaladuta and how he was preparing to go to the United States of America to deliver the message of Bhagavatam to those people who didn't even want it. Nobody invited him. And that time itself, something sparked in my mind. And apart from Satsarup Maharaj's Lilamrita, another book which is slowly becoming a very favorite of mine is Swami in a Strange Land by Yogeshwar Prabhu. Combining both of these very beautiful accounts of Srila Prabhupada's struggle, both written from two unique perspectives, we can understand that, of course, even in America Prabhupada had to struggle, but the journey before that was just one failure after another. I just noted a few. Srila Prabhupada put an ad in the Kolkata newspaper that wanted candidates to become real Brahmins for preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said to make them real Brahmins. No response. He put another ad, learn Bhagavad Gita and become a strong man. No response. He was with Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, 2 years his junior in age, but 4 years senior in sannyas. So ecclesiastically, he was a senior person. Prabhupada took sannyas from him. And then later he went to Bhakti Saranga Maharaj. They had a small Gaudiya Patrika, page after page filled with dense Bhagavat Katha or whatever, but not much success. At that time Prabhupada had 2 worn out dhotis, that's all. And he told Sarang Maharaj, let's make this magazine as big as Illustrated Weekly, which was at that time one of the biggest magazines in India. So Yogesh Prabhu says, Prabhupada's resources were meager, but his ambitions were lavish. One day, just to understand what he was experiencing, Prabhupada was standing in Delhi on a road, and Bhakti Daita Madhav Maharaj, he just cycled by. He was on his bicycle. And he said, what are you doing here? He said, one doctor who stays nearby, he has promised me a donation. I am waiting for him. A few hours went by and Madhav Maharaj was again coming back. And he said, what happened? He said, well, he has not come out yet. How much was the donation promised? He said, 5 rupees. So Madhav Maharaj said, I will give you 5 rupees. Prabhupada said, he said every month. He said, all right, I'll make it 10. So, it's hard to imagine how much Prabhupada must have, what kind of things he experienced just to make this international society. I was reflecting in my life today, another temple built or another farm project coming up or the next 1 millionth meal distributed or food for life. I was thinking these success stories sometimes, I'm sorry, it is me, my conditioned mind. It has become jaded, if you understand. A new success or just some numbers, they don't really inspire me. And I was thinking today, I think maybe these failures are inspiring me more. If I am supposed to stand in front of a person who is willing to give me 5 rupees and for hours and hours doesn't turn up, will I still have that enthusiasm? I remember once in Nasik, while giving a Bhagavad Gita 6-day course, the electricity went off. And I said, now we will all chant with such enthusiasm that Krishna will be forced to give us electricity back. After 45 minutes, I gave up. I said, I don't think Krishna doesn't he like my preaching or whatever. So in those beginning years, we still had these, I still had this predilection for these kind of miracles which Krishna can make. Of course, Rasundar Prabhu's miracle was much more meaningful. I am thinking today, Prabhupada, I am more mystified and inspired by these failures which later fructified into this whole worldwide mission, and I am very thankful that I am allowed to play a small part here. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Shyamanand Prabhu. Request Ayugotar Prabhu to kindly make his offering. Remember, it is 3 minutes for the offering, and request Keshav Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. As Shyamanand Prabhu was speaking about, something sparked in his mind. So I was also very intensely praying that let something spark in my mind to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And I'm just sharing with you the realization I got to glorify Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to talk about 4 pairs of the devotee and the Lord. In Satyug, there was Lord Narasimha and Prahlad. And Lord Narasimha did all the job of killing the demons. There is no reference that Prahlad Maharaj lifted some weapon or killed anyone. So maybe at the end of it, the Lord felt that my devotee is not being glorified. I did all the job. So in the next yuga, the Treta Yuga, the Lord had his devotee, the second pair, Lord Ram and Hanuman, by his side helping him out. And Hanuman did the great job of burning Lanka and killing many demons. But still the principal demons were killed by Lord Ram. So next comes the Dwapar Yuga. Maybe, probably the Lord thought that this time I will not kill anyone in the main war of Kurukshetra. So he sat on the chariot, made Arjuna did all the job. But still at the end, everybody glorified that Arjuna could do everything because Lord was his charioteer. So therefore I come up with the 4th pair of the Lord and his devotee, and that is Lord Chaitanya and you, Srila Prabhupada. This time the Lord has ensured that he doesn't come anywhere in between. So he appears 500 years before his devotee appears and starts the Sankirtan movement and leaves the whole job of spreading this movement all over the world to his dear devotee Srila Prabhupada. And he comes in the midnight to dictate books to Srila Prabhupada when nobody is around and the whole world is sleeping. And that's where I felt that so much the Lord loves you, Srila Prabhupada, that in this age He became a hidden incarnation so that this glorious movement to be taken to every town and village, that job is done by you. And you in return have spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya to every town and village. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving us this devotion. Thank you.
Thank you, Yogota Prabhu, for your pairing offering. And we request Keshav Prabhu to kindly make our offering. And Namamrita Mataji, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. This is always a little difficult time for me because, you know, I'm always tongue-tied in terms of what to say, you know, with all the monumental achievements of Srila Prabhupada. It's very difficult to actually fathom that. But I thought maybe today, with the limited time that we have, I would like to actually dwell on an aspect of Srila Prabhupada, which me being a person who's in the world of business and management, to sort of spend a few minutes, you know, on this one aspect of Srila Prabhupada. So I just wanted to spend a few minutes, you know, talking a little bit about my realizations on his management and execution skills. So Srila Prabhupada had a very clear vision, and this vision was based on the instructions that he got from his Guru Maharaj. He was very clear about his execution strategy also. Just like he was with the Vedantic philosophy that he preached, he had given such clear guidelines to all his disciples. He selected the most appropriate people for the different missions that he had, and that he sent them on around the world. Not only did he empower them, but he was so meticulous in terms of his guidance, in terms of what they should do, how they should do it, what should be their priorities. In fact, one of the things that I'm very grateful to is that Chitralekha Mataji sends out an email every day with a little aspect of from Srila Prabhupada's books and writings that his disciples have had on Srila Prabhupada. So you end up reading it every day and you get a little snippet, you know, of this. And just reading through that over the last maybe about 4 years that I've been getting this email is just amazing in terms of, you know, how organized he was, you know, in these areas. The one other aspect which is so amazing is the way in which he communicated with everybody, with all his disciples who would write to him on a regular basis. And it was in a time when, of course, communication was very difficult, unlike today where you send emails and WhatsApp messages, you know. So letters were written, the letters were actually, and many of them are paraphrased in these emails, you know. They're so short and so clear in terms of the instructions which were given, and so consistent. And in many cases, you know, there were very out-of-the-box solutions which he gave to his disciples. But the one thing that struck me the most through all this is that how synchronized his whole execution plan was. So, you know, if you see this over so many years, and you read that even in the Prabhupada's Leelamrita books, that, you know, all of his communication, his actions, the way in which he got all his different disciples, you know, with the different missions to get serviced, they were extremely synchronized. There were a few things he wanted them to achieve, and he was very clear in terms of communicating that. So, of course, his time management was also very amazing, because to accomplish all this, you know, in such a short time, and nowhere do you read anywhere that he wasted even a minute of his time through, you know, any of these days. And, you know, today in terms of management principles and relevance of that, management of time is one of the most important aspects. So there is just so much to learn about him in this. But I would like to submit that we as members of, you know, the Radha Gopinath temple and all the offshoots and communities, there's a lot to contemplate in terms of some of these aspects. All of us are connected to the basic core. We all want to be Krishna conscious. We all want to practice it in our lives on a daily basis. And we all want to spread it in society, you know, following in the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and Radhanath Maharaj here. But taking a leaf out of Srila Prabhupada's management, in terms of the way we are going about it, are we emulating him and are we doing it in the same manner in which, you know, he has set the example for us? And we may want to ask ourselves a question in terms of, A, do we understand our Guru Maharaj's vision as clearly as Srila Prabhupada did? And if we do, then what are we really doing today, going about executing it? To what extent are we synchronized in terms of our execution? Or are we like limbs of a body connected to the core, but then trying to move independently, the hand in one direction and the leg in another? So I am really nobody to pass any judgments, but I would certainly like to leave this one little question in your mind to think of. Because, you know, the level of synchronization and the way in which Srila Prabhupada went about executing all his activities, it would really be something for all of us to look at and see whether, you know, we can fix into that. Of course, I remain indebted to Srila Prabhupada for all that he's taught us in every aspect of life. Today there are so many commentators and writers, it's become a bit more fashionable to comment on Vedantic philosophy today, including a lot of fictional writers who are there, like a gentleman called Devdutt Patnaik and Wendy Doniger, to just name two out of the many. And Srila Prabhupada's books are just like lighthouses, you know, they remain so steadfast in a particular location and very clearly explaining the real position, and they are shining, you know, at all times for us to take directions from. So once we are aligned with it, it becomes so easy for us to navigate. So I remain a small but grateful servant for that, and to Radhanath Maharaj for engaging me in Srila Prabhupada's mission in spite of all the limitations that I have. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for all the guidance that you've given us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keshav Prabhu. Just yesterday, I was with one devotee businessman. He was telling me one of the most inspiring stories for him. He was sharing that the way Prabhupada did strategic planning for business when they made the deal with the Dai Nippon Company. The Dai Nippon Company was wanting to print the Bhagavad Gita and they were quoting $4 per book. And Prabhupada said, nothing doing, this is too much. So he sent Tamagadrishna Maharaj, it was all planning. He said, you start with $1. So when Tamagadrishna Maharaj said $1, they just jumped on. They said, we are quoting $4 and you are saying $1. And it was all planned. Prabhupada said, I will come in the discussion after 20-25 minutes. And he came in the discussion. He said, what's happening? Why are you people not able to discuss? So Prabhupada heard both the parties. I said, okay, done. You just listen to me. Make it $1.30 and that's close. And he exactly got 1.30 is what he wanted, and he got that price from Dai Nippon, which was a big company that time. So yes, Prabhupada was an absolute strategic planner. He really did exactly in a perfect businessman. That's how he grew his con. Thank you very much, Keshav Prabhu, for sharing light on that. And before Namamrita Mataji makes her offering, request Anasuya Mataji to please be ready.
Hare Krishna. What I would like to share is the realization that I've had on how Srila Prabhupada has been such a visionary in building his temples. And just looking at his most iconic temple, his flagship temple in Mumbai, which is in ISKCON Juhu, I realized that way back in the 1970s, the way, the manner in which he built it was truly path breaking. Today we take it for granted. We are used to it. We know what it's all about. But in those days, I remember growing up in the 1970s and 80s, going to a temple at that time without any offense was a bit like going to the bathroom. Like you just went in, you did whatever you had to, and you came out. That was going to a temple. But Srila Prabhupada, he saw that these temples should be more than just a place of worship. That they have to be a place of imparting Vedic knowledge. And in a very simple way. So I remember my earliest recollections of going as a child to the Juhu Mandir. And what really jumped out at me as a child were the simple but extremely profound dioramas which were lining the sides of the hall. And two dioramas stuck with me. The visions of this stuck with me even as I grew much older. And they were, one was the one in which the cycle of birth and death was reproduced with a baby, and then the baby growing older, a toddler, youth, manhood, old man, and then finally death and a skeleton. This vision really stayed with me. And the other one was the one of Ajamil, where the Yamduts and the Vishnuduts were both almost fighting to take the soul of Ajamil. And I realized that this, what I had seen in the temple as a child, without understanding, without having any other exposure to Vedic literatures or Vedic wisdom or studies, this stayed with me. And I really believe that this was like a seed which then later sprouted and fructified and made me what I am today, along with several other forces. But these little snippets of wisdom, of Vedic knowledge that we get in Srila Prabhupada's temples, they truly stay with us. And later I realized that so many other societies and organizations have copied this model. But initially it was Srila Prabhupada's idea that our temples have to be the centers of imparting Vedic knowledge. And so I remain indebted to Srila Prabhupada for the seeds that he has sown and for the fruits, that the sweet fruit of Krishna consciousness that I am tasting now with Guru Maharaj and all the devotees here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for your wonderful offering. And before Anasuya Mataji makes her offering, request Shivaram Prabhu to please be ready.
I'm not an orator, but there comes a time in life when you must and you want to express your gratitude to people who have influenced you so much, guided you, mentored you before it is too late. So probably in all these years, for me the time is today. My first meeting with Srila Prabhupada was during the Kartik of 1975. No, I've never met him. But that was probably the year when the temple in Vrindavan was inaugurated. And since my grandparents and family home was at Mathura, all our Diwali holidays were spent there. So when the Krishna Balaram temple came up at Vrindavan, my father took us to Vrindavan to see the temple. we attended the beautiful evening aarti, and then my father showed us the calm and meditative, poised murti of Srila Prabhupada, explaining to us that, see, he is the guru of this temple. And look how beautifully they have carved this amazing lifelike murti. Srila Prabhupada was mesmerizing even in his murti form. Several such visits happened every year with a day picnic to Vrindavan from Mathura during those Diwali vacations that we would spend at Mathura, visiting the temple of Banke Bihariji, Seva Kunj, Samghat, and evening aarti at the most beautiful and most opulent Krishna Balaram temple, more popularly known there as the Angrezo Wala Mandir, you know. Back home in Pune, that's where my father was posted then, whenever we had guests, and we had plenty of outstation guests, one day or one weekend was planned to take the guests to Bombay. So, you know, it was a, see, my dad was in the railway, so tickets were free. They were, you know, traveling was free to Pune and Bombay. So we had to take the guests to Bombay, and then we would take them to Gateway of India, Nehru Planetarium, then ISKCON Juhu, Hare Krishna Mandir, and a little bit Juhu Beach, and stay overnight somewhere, and next day morning back to Pune. So it just continued. And as always, I would keep gazing at Srila Prabhupada, just admiring not only the sculptor, but also wondering, how could anyone else, anyone such, have such a content, soft smile on one's face? So that was the flashback. Yesterday was 3rd September, Janmashtami of 2018. Rewind 30 years back. 3rd September, Janmashtami of 1988. That morning, my father showed me a small pamphlet. And while I was rushing to college, he called me, "Are Anju, come here, look. There is a new Hare Krishna temple which has opened at Chowpadi. And we should go there today because today is Janmashtami. We have to go. Such a lovely Krishna temple opening so close to our house." We were staying at Churchgate and I was doing my internship close at VT. Saturday being a half day for me, we all, in the evening, all of us, we came to visit this temple, our Radha Gopinath temple. I believe that this temple was inaugurated also in 1988. That was the continuation of the invisible mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We met Mahaprabhuji, one of our most enthusiastic and genuine instruments of Srila Prabhupada. Mahaprabhuji preached to us for a while, showed us around and gave us a book. Rather gave me the book, The Science of Self-Realization. That was Prabhupada himself, for me. That book, in simple words, changed my life. It was that drop of nectar for me which gave me a taste and then actually left me hankering for more. Okay, I'm sorry. It actually made me realize that Srila Prabhupada was full of so much compassion, so much mercy. So that was not the end. And after that, Prabhupada, okay, the simplicity of the language and the clarity of the thoughts was so beautifully put forward in the question and answers. Coming from a family with a tradition of seva of Srinathji for almost about 150 years, if not more, where fasting, bhoga offerings, no onion, garlic, etc. were just routine, where reading the Bhagavad Gita was a rule in the house during vacations. Of course, mindlessly. But in spite of knowing a lot of stories from our scriptures, this book so logically explained the concept of Krishna for me being the Supreme Personality. That logic, that scientific explanation set me thinking. From ritualistic ignorance, there was that spark of knowledge which was coming to me. Thanks to Mahaprabhuji again, I read a lot of books given to me, those small books, you know, coming back and journeying to other planets, beyond birth and death, teachings of Queen Kunti. Now that was my real introduction to Srila Prabhupada. The next episode happened in 1990. I think 1990, Sridharma Prabhu would know better, when the drama festivals began. Sachidanand Prabhu, Sri Rama Prabhu and myself did a small 10-minute skit based on the Ramayana. All three of us got prizes in some category. So what prize is immaterial, but the prize was like mind-blowing. I got a beautiful hard copy of Prabhupada Leelamrit, along with a shawl of my Guru Radhanath Swami Maharaj. That was so much mercy. That actually made me realize that Srila Prabhupada was full of so much compassion, because I was reading his books. Now I was reading about him. So much mercy. He believed only in giving and giving and giving his all and just living for others. This was so inspirational for a young girl like me at that time. I could not imagine that how any person could be so selfless, so thoughtful and so concerned about the upliftment of others. So compassionate that he would be ready to endure all extremes in life only to fulfill his mission and his word to his guru. So factually, Srila Prabhupada, I have never met you, but you have always been there for me. When I heard your chant of Hare Krishna in your voice, you sounded like my own grandfather singing for his deities. You solved so many of my queries through your books. I can see and feel your calmness and the concern and compassion gushing down in plenty from the personality of my Guru Maharaj, Radhanath Swami Maharaj. What more can one ask in one lifetime? Srila Prabhupada, you introduced me to the world of Krishna consciousness, to the world of Radharani's mercy. That is because in the Pushti Margya, there is the divinity of benevolence of Yamuna Maharani. Radharani is not there. So it was Prabhupada and his temples who introduced me to Radharani. You introduced me to the beautiful world of Golok Vrindavan through the lovely pictures and paintings made by your disciples, inspired by your narrations, which flood your books, and they now flood the world too. You introduced me to the concept of total surrender to the will of the Lord and to having implicit faith in Krishna's plan that has survived me through all the turbulences in life. You are the string that binds us all across the world. Srila Prabhupada, you sowed a seed of Krishna consciousness with roots in Sanatan Dharma and nurtured it into this beautiful tree of devotion based on science and logic, with fruits and flowers in the form of your various disciples and devotees, spreading the fragrance and nectar far and wide. I am a recipient too. And thank you is a very, very small word. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Mataji, and request Shivaram Prabhu to make her offering. This was a wake-up call, I think, for everybody. Shivaram Prabhu, and then we request Nikunj Bihari Prabhu to be ready. Nikunj Bihari Prabhu, are you there?
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he writes in one of his commentary that Krishna's eyes are Kamala Nayana, like lotus petals. But then he writes that this is not the only beauty of Krishna's eyes. The real beauty of Krishna's eyes is his eyes are always moist. There are tears in Krishna's eyes always dwelling. Why there are tears in Krishna's eyes? Because he cannot tolerate the suffering of the conditioned souls in this material world. He is extremely merciful. And the devotees like Srila Prabhupada are the personification of Krishna's mercy. Even some of the God brothers of Srila Prabhupada, they mention that what is the secret of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami's success in his preaching? He is the ocean of good qualities, but the most prominent quality is he was extremely merciful. Once a disciple of Srila Prabhupada entered in Prabhupada's room and he saw Srila Prabhupada was crying. So he asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, why are you crying?" And Prabhupada said, whenever I hear or whenever I see that my disciples are facing serious problems in their life, serious difficulties in their life, I feel like my bodily limbs have been cut off. This was the soft-heartedness of Srila Prabhupada. Just as a Parikshit Maharaj, he had a power to stop the Kali Yuga to enter in his kingdom. But being a pure devotee, being a lover of Krishna, he thought in his mind that what will happen? Even if Kali enters in my kingdom, at the most the people will suffer a little extra. But then, if they hear, even mistake, by mistake, even if they hear chant Krishna's holy name, they will be delivered and their eternal journey towards the spiritual world will begin. Therefore, he allowed Kali to enter in his kingdom. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would discuss with anyone, whether it is a scientist or a politician or even an ordinary person, Prabhupada would make sure that at the end of the discussion, this person will carry Krishna with him. He was not interested in do good or be good. He was only giving absolute truth to others. And out of his compassion, out of his sheer mercy, Prabhupada, although the Vedic literatures are so vast, so difficult to understand, but he gave in such a simple words that even an ordinary person can understand this philosophy. Once there was a lady, she was very fat. She was in anxiety. Sometimes she could not even sit in the car because the door size was lesser than, smaller than her body. But once she was walking on the road and she overheard a lecture of disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And after the lecture she went to the Swami and she said, Swamiji, I am really grateful to you. He said, why? Because you mentioned in your class that I am neither fat, nor thin, nor red, yellow, black. I am not this body, I am spirit soul. So that gave me so much satisfaction that I am not this fat, I am this thin lady. I am a spirit soul. So Prabhupada's mercy, even this whole knowledge of the Vedic scriptures in a simple one line, because that was Krishna, Prabhupada's death and Prabhupada's love for Krishna. So if you want to show our love or reciprocation with Krishna, Prabhupada, then we should assist him in whatever capacities we have. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Shivaram Prabhu. Just a small reminder to all the forthcoming guests, just restrict your offerings to 3 minutes. Nikunj Biapu, before you make your offering, would like to request Satyatan Prabhu to be ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, as one understands that children of a material wealthy family are to be considered very fortunate. While the father is living, they are well taken care of. And then when the father passes away, they inherit all his wealth. They may get great estates and vast sums of money. Srila Prabhupada, as your spiritual grandchildren, we have also received from you a great inheritance, much greater than all material wealth imaginable. You have given us eternal life, knowledge of the absolute, happiness and the hope. You have bestowed upon us the most valuable treasure, being Krishna conscious. This wealth, interestingly, has over time superbly withstood challenges of all economic and material volatilities. Whether it's Donald Trump increasing Fed rates or putting trade embargoes or BJP losing or winning the next general election, or even if there is a total economic meltdown, this acquired wealth has no impact on it, has definite properties of growth only. The best thing about this wealth is that it never leaves you and transmigrates along with you. So all its accumulation with your grace has given us only bliss and happiness. Another very interesting property of your wealth is that it may not be locked or put in a safe custody. Interestingly, the more one distributes, the more it accumulates. But as also one understands that in this material world, everything has a price. Well, Prabhupada, I guess to retain this inherited wealth and to grow it, we have to ensure that we follow the essence of the family name that you have given to us, that is Das and Dasi, and live by its true meaning. You have put us on the path back to home, back to Godhead, and in your absence, you continue to teach and guide us through the instructions. We continue to reap the benefits of your spiritual children because you remain with us in your books, letters, in your recorded classes, lectures and conversations. We can even still listen to you, chanting japa, singing bhajans and leading kirtans. By spreading your legacy of love and mercy to others, we can attempt to express our appreciation. But in actuality, there is no way we can ever repay your kindness and generosity. On this auspicious occasion, celebrating your Vyas Puja, we thank you for adopting and accepting us as your followers and bringing us into the internal family of Krishna's devotees. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Nikunj Bihari Prabhu. Satyatam Prabhu, before you make your offering, would like to request Radharani Mataji to kindly make her offering. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, we have not seen or met you, but we have heard about your glories from innumerable people. Also, your books give a glance of your towering personality. The qualities you display are mind-boggling, and each quality is something which we can only aspire for, but it is hard to emulate them. You embody these great qualities which are raised to the power of n. So in mathematics formula, when you raise something to the power of n, it becomes infinite. So Prabhupada is full of infinite qualities, and we can only really think of trying to, you know, go down that path and trying to acquire some of these qualities. So I just wanted to, in my mind, when I read the books or when I hear from the devotees, we get a glimpse of some of these qualities. And I just listed down a few of them, which I feel at least, even if a little bit we can imbibe or I can imbibe in my life, it'll be very successful. So the power of really accepting diverse people and divergent views. Srila Prabhupada, right from the beginning, really accepted people, whoever came to him without any distinction of caste, creed, religion, sex, black, white, thin, fat, everybody was welcome. And everybody felt loved and everybody felt protected in his company. He took care of them, he cooked for them. I think these people probably in the beginning rendered no service, but I think slowly he converted many of these people into pure devotees. So that was his power of, you know, accepting such diverse people, divergent views which were there, and trying to then, you know, get them into the Vaishnava culture. He simplified some of these complex, I would say, understandings which were there, and made our lives so simple. So I have just listed down a couple of them. One is Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. I think it is so simple but so deep in terms of the understanding, a comparison of the drop with the ocean, Atma with Paramatma. Otherwise, if you are searching for some truth, you may be completely lost in this world with so many philosophies which are sort of going around, so many gurus which are around. Padam padam vipadam natesham. That this material world is full of danger. There is danger at every step. It's a miserable place, but at the same time you are here for a purpose. And only true happiness is in trying to really serve the Lord and His devotees. Anything else which we try to aspire, run after material pleasures, is finally going to end into misery. I think so simple, when we look around the world, see examples which are there, I think as an observer we can clearly see whether rich or poor, you know, this country or that country, everybody is in a similar state, everybody is suffering. And they are trying to get out, they want to get pleasure, but they don't know what is the source of that pleasure. Yukta Vairagya. I think this is the most amazing concept I found. And here Prabhupada is trying to explain that everything, anything, any qualities which we have, any material object, money, some object, wealth, you know, whether it's music, dance, some qualifications like medicine, engineering, management, everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. I think it is so amazing because before that, if you look at a, you know, sadhu and think that you want to become sort of pure, the only thing you can think of that you have to give up everything and then you have to engage in God's service. But here Prabhupada is saying you don't have to give up anything, you dove till your qualities which are there in the service of the Lord. Such an amazing concept. I think power of simplicity without duplicity. Every person who came in touch with Srila Prabhupada could see that he was absolutely straightforward. His words penetrated their ego, went straight to their heart. There was no hypocrisy at all. That is why they loved him. The reason is that he first implemented whatever were the salient truths of the scriptures in his own life, and it was so easy for him to then put it across to different people. The power of conviction and courage. On his Guru Maharaj's order, at the ripe age of 69, when everybody around him was discouraging him not to go, you know, nobody will accept it, it's a Malaysia country, Prabhupada, you will die over there because of, you know, severe cold. Just simply because he was convinced that this is his Guru Maharaj's order, this is Krishna's plan, and he has written that poetry while on the Jaladuta, that, you know, this is your mission, Krishna, you are getting me there, so you must be having some business to take me there. So the conviction and the courage which was there is really unfathomable. If we can just get even a little bit of that in our lives, you know, we would be much more, you know, courageful and fearless. The power of being fully surrendered and dependent on the Lord's mercy. He had complete faith in the parampara and the Lord's mercy. Similarly, I have listed down many, many such things. The power of humility, the power of service, the power of compassion. And there are so many other qualities which Prabhupada exhibited. And when I say power, I mean that it is raised to the power of N. He had an unlimited quantity, these qualities. And here we are aspiring, Srila Prabhupada, that even if we can get a tiny bit, a fraction of one of these qualities, our life would be sublime. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Sachidananda Prabhu. Yes, Prabhupada made everything simple for the simple. Radharani Mataji, before you make your offering, would like to request Kishori to kindly come forward and make your offering.
Thank you. Prabhupada was a perfect blend of patience and giving training and protection to his children, his disciples. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj in his book Servant of Servant describes very nicely how Prabhupada would deal with them in the early days. And he has actually recorded all the letters which Prabhupada wrote to him. So in initial days, he would often ask questions which he himself says were whimsical to Srila Prabhupada. So once he read that Lord Chaitanya would in separation chant Gopi Gopi. So in a letter he asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, can we chant the name of gopis? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj explains that sometimes when a father is telling his son a story, the child may ask a question which is totally out of context. But the father does not get angry or reject the question. He very patiently satisfies the doubt of his inquisitive child, but gradually, very slowly brings him back to the story. So Prabhupada did not get angry. He replied in a letter, and he said that yes, you can individually chant the names of gopis, but when we chant Sri Radha, Krishna, Padan, Sahagana, Lalita, that full prayer, Sri Vishakhanvitamscha, then all the names are included in that. So at the end he indicated what really should be done. So in this way so many doubts would be answered very, very patiently. At another time Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked him that after hearing Narad Muni's story, he asked him a question that, Srila Prabhupada, who were you in your last life? Do you remember your past life? So then Prabhupada told him that I don't remember my past life. And he described some things and then he became a little serious and he said that it doesn't matter who the guru was in the past life, whether he has become a spiritual master because he is sadhana siddha, kripa siddha or nitya siddha, that doesn't matter. Once you have accepted him as your guru, he is empowered by Krishna and you should have implicit faith in him if you have to make progress. So not only would there be parental love and patience, but there would be training. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj mentions that Srila Prabhupada was training us to be disciplined in our thoughts, words and actions. He had accepted the task of taking us out of this material world and was preparing us to become mature and go to a higher stage of Krishna consciousness. Lastly, as a father, he was diligent to see that his disciples were protected in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada so beautifully trained his disciples and they in turn are training us, the grand disciples. Thank you, Prabhupada, for giving us such a wonderful family. You are our grandfather and we are very grateful to our father and to all our brothers and sisters who are helping us and supporting us at every moment of our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Radharani Mataji. Before Kishori makes her offering, we'd like to request Premavati Mataji to be ready.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. You have given us the four principles. Preaching is the essence, books are the basis, purity is the force and neutrality is the principle. And I was reading some memories of your disciples and I came across few stories. I would like to speak about that. And Narayan Prabhu was telling that once he was in your room and he did not know, he was feeling very uncomfortable because every time he was in Srila Prabhupada's room, you know, there was some work to be done, but here he was just standing and Prabhupada was doing something, so he didn't know what to do. And Prabhupada at that time, understanding what is happening in his mind, he told him that, do you know what is your duty? And he was so perplexed that he didn't answer anything. And then Prabhupada said, can you see this ant on this my table? And he couldn't even see the ant, but he couldn't even tell Prabhupada that, no Prabhupada, I'm not able to see it. So then Prabhupada said, your duty is to find out how can I give Krishna to this ant, either by chanting Hare Krishna or by giving a sugar prasadam to this ant. So the preaching is that whenever you meet anybody, you should only always think, Srila Prabhupada said, that how can I give Krishna to others. At that time, Prabhuji used to make Kalsamasi Krishna deities. It was like a diorama. And that deity was installed in 18 temples. So after 18, that time there were 18 temples in ISKCON. So he destroyed the mold and Prabhupada asked him that, why have you destroyed the mold? I want to make more deities. So Prabhupada, he answered that, Prabhupada, there are no temples now. So Prabhupada said, even if there are no temples, where will take this deity? Even if they put in their lawn, in the garden, he's saying they will become Krishna conscious. Saying anybody, and Prabhupada made a very profound statement, any contact with Krishna is always a good contact with Krishna. So you should make sure that how you can bring people in contact with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, the second principle was, utility is the principle. Once you were in with Allen Ginsberg in a mantra dance, and they had newly introduced the microphone, and every microphone had to be with a wire, but there were no wires. So Allen Ginsberg removed his shoelace, and he used for his microphone, and he was giving the other shoelace to you. Instead of that, you said, no, Prabhupada said, no, I will not use that. And the devotee was standing saying, please remove your sacred thread. And he used the sacred thread of the devotee and used it as a wire to speak in the microphone. And also, Narayan Prabhu was saying that whenever any envelope would come to Prabhupada, after reading the letter, Prabhupada would open the envelope, make it a paper, and use the back side of the paper to write something which afterwards disciples would type it and make it a fair copy. And we should not waste anything and we should utilize everything in Krishna's service. books are the basis. We have heard so many stories about Srila Prabhupada's books changing lives. But here I would like to mention two pastimes, that when Prabhupada was writing these books, in 1967 Prabhupada had an attack of paralysis and he couldn't write much. They found a dictaphone, and Gargamuni Prabhu took one full day to understand how to speak in the dictaphone and record. And then when Srila Prabhupada got the dictaphone, they wanted him to learn that, and Prabhupada said, no, I know how to use it. And then he started dictating so many books that they had lot of books and only Hayagri Prabhu was typing. So they really needed somebody. And suddenly one student came, Neil, and he said, I have come from the other city and I want to do some project for ISKCON temple. So he said, what do you know? Saying, I am good in transcription and I am a typist. And he actually transcribed and typed Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Ishopanishad and Nectar of Devotion. So Brahmananda Prabhu writes that we have seen miracles happening, and he was also describing about how Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, which he had written, and he wanted it to get published, and they approached Allen Ginsberg. He tried some publisher, they didn't agree. Then they approached Raya Ram Prabhu, who was BTG editor, and he tried few other publishers, but nobody was agreeing. Because they were saying in every book, every page of this book, there is intense Krishna consciousness. So finally, Prabhupada at that time, because of George Harrison, they had become very famous with the Hare Krishna records. And they got one message from a company of Macmillan that we want a Hare Krishna record. So Prabhupada then he saw that, he said, why don't you go personally and deliver this record there? So in Ramanand Prabhu, he went there to personally deliver, and Prabhupada told him before going that you should ask them that will you publish Bhagavad Gita. So when they gave the book, they gave the record to the accountant. Accountant said, I am just managing money, I have nothing to do with publishing. And Brahmananda Prabhu didn't know actually what to do, because he was right, he cannot publish, he cannot take the decision of publishing. And at that time the door opened and the senior editor came walking in, and Brahmananda Prabhu approached him. And he said, we want to publish a Bhagavad Gita. Saying, oh, a Bhagavad Gita in English? Said, yes. He's saying, is it complete? Said, yes. Is it written by a Swami? Yes. He's saying, I'm looking for a Bhagavad Gita written by a Swami in English. Because we have, in our religion sections, we have already Quran and some other things, but we have no Bhagavad Gita. We will publish it. They didn't even read the manuscript. So we can see how Prabhupada can actually create miracles. And the fourth is purity is the force. And Srila Prabhupada, here I want to tell you that have your chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at Bhaktivedanta Hospital is changing so many lives. When we are publishing research papers of just hearing your Hare Krishna Mantra, actually people are coming down on their anxiety, depression, drugs. Patients who are undergoing bypass surgery, just by hearing your chanting, they are getting healed faster. Recently we have a school of nursing, and where all the students who come to learn nursing as a profession, they usually take a sankalpa yajna and they make some vows on physical, academic, behavior and spiritual platforms, and they sit on a yajna. And it was so touching to the heart to see so many students taking the vows to give up non-veg, fast on Ekadashi, coming to temple, reading Bhagavad Gita and chanting. And we also have recently started a project Prahlad, where many of the pregnant patients, under the guidance of the senior devotees, you know, we are teaching them write original Narad Muni preach to Prahlad Maharaj, to hear, chant and worship Tulsi Maharani. Srila Prabhupada, your last instruction was, if you want to please me, you cooperate. It is not easy to work with so many devotees coming together at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, but because when we are practicing this principle of cooperation, it is very purifying, uplifting, and we are able to reach hundreds of devotees' hearts and hundreds of patients' hearts, and they are getting your mercy. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much. Request Premavati Madhiji to kindly make her offering. And Sachi Pran Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today I feel extremely grateful for making this offering, and I would like to share some of my personal experiences. To start with, I came in touch with Krishna consciousness. I came into Krishna consciousness in the year 1995, and Baldev Prabhu's parents, Krishna Chaitra Prabhu and Subhadra Mataji, they were from day one till date, they are inspiring us to be in this movement very nicely. And there are so many people who have inspired us to take up this process nicely. And in the year 2010, Radha Gindari temple, they called me and they told, why don't you start Bhagavad Gita in schools. That time I was teaching in a college, and I had taught about 10 years in colleges, teaching in different colleges. So they called me and they told me that you start propagating Bhagavad Gita in schools. First I took permission in my own campus, and then I approached several schools, and I was very successful in that. Then next year, in 2011, Shubha Vilas Prabhu told me you take up the charge of Gita Champion League for all the schools in Mira Bhayandar area. Slowly we started like this, and I approached so many schools, but Cosmopolitan School, they came forward and they supported me very well. They hosted the program and all. So eventually, in last 8 years, every year Cosmopolitan School comes out with so many toppers in GCL. My point of the saying is, Prabhupada, whoever is coming in touch with you is becoming extremely healthy, wealthy, loving, spiritual and blissful. Whether it is a school, whether it is any person, whether it is an institution, because Cosmopolitan School, they hosted the program, then over a period of time, so many toppers came in, and this year Janmashtami was celebrated in this school with such a grand, in a, such a grand manner. Similarly, in 2011, when my daughter got admission in MBBS, till last minute we were hoping that she will get the seat, MBBS seat in Mumbai. But within a short notice, we came to know that she got in Mangalore, Manipal University. So when I went for the admission, finished all the formalities, then casually I asked that hostel warden, is vegetarian food served here in the canteen? Because my daughter doesn't eat even onion garlic. Then warden, he started with a big lecture. He started lecturing my daughter for about 1.5 hours. He said that your mother is previous generation, but you are in this generation, you have to be more practical. You know, you are going to become a doctor. And after 1.5 hours of his serious lecture, my daughter very, very firmly, she convinced him. And at the end of the discussion, he was very happy. And he told that, you know, as a special permission, I will allow you to stay outside the hostel. You can stay in the private apartment. That was never done before, actually. All the students, they have to compulsorily stay in the hostel, but she got the special permission. That is because, Prabhupada, you inspired my children in such a great manner that during the years of their study in medical college, they were able to keep up their chanting, their principles, and they were able to inspire many people. Similarly, the same thing happened with my second daughter. The moment she got admission, we were hoping that she will get in Mumbai, but she got in Talegaon, Mimer College. So the moment she got the admission, immediately one devotee girl, she called voluntarily. It all happened like that, like a magic. So it is Srila Prabhupada, you are taking care of all of us in a very, very exemplary way. And last so many years, you know, I'm able to see it is already blessed. The project is already blessed. Everything is already done by you, Prabhupada. We are just instruments. Every year we are able to register about 2,000, 3,000 students, and this year we are targeting to register about 5,000 students for Gita Champion League. And this year, amazingly, so many schools have come forward, and we have started value education in 6 schools so far, and we are really hoping to start Valley Education, all the 35 plus schools, whatever we have in Mirabai in that area. And I'm actually, because of so much of influence in my own children, and when I'm seeing so much of influence in so many other children who are participating in GCL, and recently one girl who participated in GCL for the last 5 years consistently, she was my student, and later she was always All Mumbai topper. She scored All India 8th rank in CA without even going for any private tuitions. She came All India 8th. And I mean, students, they are able to see their own progress actually, in the sense when the students are taking up the scriptures, taking up this study, they are able to excel in their material studies also without any doubt actually. So this year I am seeking the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees that we, with all our heart, mind, intelligence, engage completely in Prabhupada's mission and spread this value education not only in India but all over the world. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Madhuchi. Request Sachipan Prabhu to kindly make her offering, and Deena Gauranga Prabhu, please be ready.
Please accept my humble message, Srila Prabhupada. I am standing in front of you, itself shows how you are glorious and causeless. It is very difficult to glorify in 3 minutes to Srila Prabhupada, because even if we take entire duration of Kali Yuga, we may not glorify Srila Prabhupada. That much glorious our spiritual master is. I want to express my deepest gratitude on this auspicious day of Srila, your appearance day. You have given us a glorious spiritual master. What else a gift a disciple required in his whole life? So, our spiritual master has given us a Bhaktivedanta hospital, a very innovative project. Prabhupada never mentioned to open a hospital because he doesn't like just treatment of the body. But his Bhaktivedanta hospital is non-different from a Goloka. He may mention, amazed about Goloka. Prabhupada mentioned that every temple of mine is Goloka Vrindavan. But in our hospital, we have opportunity of hearing Srila Prabhupada 24/7. In temple, you may not have. We have an opportunity of seeing Jagannath Rath Yatra every day, 365 days. In nowhere in the world we have 365 days Rath Yatra. Another point, every patient receives Krishna Prasad. Every patient receives Harinam, and that's pure transcendental vibration of Srila Prabhupada. Every patient who's going to die, you die with taking Harinam. So where this place is available, it is only a Golok Vrindavan. It is not different from a temple. Another point I want to mention here is Maharaj has opened this hospital with unlimited opportunities of service. We have a lot of services like outreach camps and everything. In Pandharpur recently we have distributed thousands of books, so many Krishna Prasad, everyone was taking shelter of Harinam. So I am seeing that this causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada is flowing everywhere. We have 30% of patients coming as from Muslim background. What an opportunity of coming a Muslim in this temple. Very rare. But we have every 30 patient coming and they are getting admitted and receiving the Krishna Prasad. So this is really a wonderful opportunity. I want to share one miracle which has happened. I see, like Vrasundar Prabhu was mentioning, ki Prabhupada's presence, and I felt Prabhupada is present very much in the hospital. A very small example I want to give you. We were going for an inspection of postgraduate institute for Bhaktivedanta Hospital for an eye department. And there was a committee which we have received the names, and we were happy with the committee. All the names coming for ophthalmologists. Just one day before, the names got changed. And the senior member of that team was a Muslim, and he is not an ophthalmologist, he is a gynecologist. I was amazed. How can a gynecologist come for an inspection for an eye department? Then he reached our hospital. He was checking our documents and he was mentioning, I requested the College of Physicians and Surgeons to recommend my name for inspection because I want to express my gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. He was mentioning, he was in GU and he saw this effulgent face of Srila Prabhupada, and he felt this man is not from this mortal world. He said he is coming from a spiritual world, and he was glorifying like anything. We were afraid. He is from Muslim background. How will get a recommendation from him? But he was thinking from another aspect that he want to express his gratitude for Srila Prabhupada by showing his darshan in Jihu temple. That was the miraculous our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. What I can glorify, I am just insignificant soul. I have not done anything service. It's a painful for me to express on this auspicious day. I have done nothing service to my Gurudev and spiritual pastor, but I am sincerely praying to Srila Prabhupada on auspicious day. I was an Arogya Sevak, like a health servant up till now. I want to take a Go Sarva and I become a Go servant to please my Gurudev. I was working in a Prayag project up till now. I will take up this a part of cow seva and I will offer my humble service. And I am sure that I am very insignificant with the help of all senior Vaishnavas and my God brothers. One day I will make a small smile on Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Sachipan Prabhu and Dinagwang Prabhu. Kindly make your offering.
Hare Krishna. I will speak about 2 points. First, about the intelligence of Prabhupada. As we know that anybody who comes to ISKCON and firstly he is not been introduced to Srila Prabhupada, it's impossible. Similarly, I started reading Srila Prabhupada's biography, Leelamrut. As reading, I came across one statement where Prabhupada says that my God brothers failed in London, so I will go to America. So I started thinking that how suddenly he changed this. So we know that as we see that after 1960s, Indians started following not Britishers but Americans. So Prabhupada followed the scriptures like Yadyad Acharati Shrestas, as Navinder Prabhu was later mentioning that Americans do not use jeans and Ray-Ban nowadays, but still we follow that. That means we still follow them, in the sense it stays for a long time. So Prabhupada used that intelligence that now how we are Indians are following, if we make them come follow, the Bhagavatam purports, then automatically Indians will follow. In 2007, I came across the Navdeep Mandal Parikrama, where the last session is for the all the participants should have they give their experiences. So there I heard one experience of a lady that she is from Delhi, and she gave that her experience. Being a very smartha background and the South Indian lady, she was very particular in her habits, and she had 2 arguments about the ISKCON, that you know, how can one somebody eat the remnants, you know, of the devotees. She expressed that, but still she was following because she was a Krishna devotee. So after a few years she saw that so many people from all over the world are coming, Chinese, Russians, and she observed them that they come up, they get up early in the morning, finish their japa before the parikrama starts, all the way they chant enthusiastically, hear the lecture enthusiastically, and all the long they read Srila Prabhupada's books also. So she, during 2-3 yatra, she came across few other foreign devotees, and she asked that, you know, I am from born a devotee. I know about Krishna more than you, but still I don't get any, connection with Sri Krishna. I don't feel any experience about how this happens with you, how you are so enthusiastically. Then she understood that Prabhupada's, reading Prabhupada's books, they have changed. So over the years she read so many, she started reading Srimad Bhagavatam and purports. And such a transformation happened that being an orthodox, from the orthodox family, now she said that I don't feel any shame going to anybody's plate and grab remnants and eat it. That was very shocking for me. And she said that not this, now she has started, she has opened a center at her house, and in her family she was being said as a lady Hitler by her daughter. But seeing the transformation in her heart by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, now she is, they call her Lady Gaga, she said. So I was very, on this auspicious occasion, I pray to Srila Prabhupada that he blesses us, that we take all the time in all occasions shelter in the, his purpose to Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Dina Gauranga Prabhu, and of course, with this, we come to an end for this year's offering by the devotees, and at this point in time, we'd like to request His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to offer his offerings to Srila Prabhupada.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschadyate Shatharine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha patithanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. On several occasions in various places in the world, Srila Prabhupada was asked if he could perform miracles. Srila Prabhupada replied that his miracle was his devotees. The miracle of transforming people's hearts, their lives. In India, he would sometimes say that these malechas have become Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. In America, he said, hippies have become happies. But truly, this is what a miracle is. We find in the scriptures, various places of the world, all scriptures of the world, there are stories of healing sick people. There are stories of creating aerial mansions. There are stories of international, interplanetary travel by mantra. But nowhere is that the purpose of life. Nowhere is any of those things actually in and of themselves taken seriously. The only serious purpose of life at all is how our hearts are transformed from darkness to light, from selfishness to selflessness, from hate to love, from illusion to understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, and to awaken love and service. Mukunda Maharaj, His Holiness Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, who was one of the earliest of the followers of Srila Prabhupada. He wrote a book, Miracle on Second Avenue. He writes what he personally observed and understood by being in Srila Prabhupada's side. Srila Prabhupada left India when he was just embarking on 70 years old with 40 rupees. When he landed in America after heart attack, seasickness, he really didn't know anyone. He himself said he was loitering, almost homeless, in New York City, in a ghetto area, the Bowery, with no friend and no means. Mukunda Maharaj met him at that time, and somehow he got that little storefront on Second Avenue. Hardly a fraction of the size of the room we're in today. Old building, quite dilapidated, even then, in a very bad neighborhood. What a miracle Prabhupada performed. He said, when I came to your country, I just had these two symbols, the karatals. By his chanting, by his speaking, sometimes the only prasad he had is someone would donate an apple and he would cut it in as many pieces as the guests were there and offer it to Krishna and then give it. Yamuna Devi, she came to Second Avenue in 1966. For her sister Janaki's marriage with Mukunda, who is now Maharaj. And she wanted to help. She wanted to do something. Prabhupada said, you can assist me in cooking. She was cutting vegetables. She was kneading dough. Very simple. What a miracle. Srila Prabhupada not only transformed her heart to become one of the greatest devotees that ever lived, but from that little teaching her how to cut vegetables and knead puri dough, she became one of the greatest cooks in the planet. She wrote a cookbook, Lord Krishna's Cuisine, which was the number one rated cookbook in the world. And that's not by ISKCON standards. That's worldwide publishing standards. Those few devotees from 26 Second Avenue in that little storefront, that's all they had. They gathered. They heard from Prabhupada, they were transformed, and they were so enthusiastic to assist him. What a miracle. A few months before, they were eating abominable things, they were taking intoxications, they were doing abominable things, they never heard of Krishna before. Some of them went to San Francisco and started another little storefront. And Prabhupada came there. And just from those two little storefronts, Prabhupada sent those devotees out. Nobody even being devotees more than a year hardly, all over the world to start centers and projects from those devotees. He sent to start Krishna consciousness movement in Canada, in Africa, in South America, in Australia, in Germany. He sent 3 household couples just joined a year before to England. And within a matter of a year, there was a temple. There was tens and thousands of Hare Krishna records being sold. They started a whole movement. A few of those devotees came to India. They established a spiritual revolution here. Such a miracle. They began publications. There was no Back to Godhead. That was not being printed for many years. They would just make little, they would mimeograph, it was called, very, very painstaking process with just a few pages. And they would pass them out. It was very difficult to pass them out. If they could pass out a couple dozen in a day, they were thinking, this is great. And from that beginning, Srila Prabhupada empowered his devotees to establish book distribution. Hundreds and millions of Vedic literatures. Srila Prabhupada went to Russia for less than a week. This is during the time of the Soviet Union and the Iron Curtain, and religion was illegal as we know it. He met one boy, a Russian boy. He was just a lost soul. He happened to see Shamsundar on the street, and he saw he was American. Asked him if he had blue jeans or rock and roll records. He said, no, but I have a guru. So he said, all right. Srila Prabhupada taught that boy in just a couple days the principles of Krishna consciousness and empowered him. We're all alone, with no help from anyone except Prabhupada in his heart. He started spreading this mission. Some books came. From that little beginning, soon there were hundreds of devotees, thousands of devotees who were getting put in jail, they were being tortured. But they gratefully continued. And now, perhaps hundreds and thousands of devotees. Outside of India, it's the largest devotee community in the world. In the former Soviet Union, those countries. Such a miracle. The miracle of Srila Prabhupada's presence is not just for those original devotees of what they could accomplish during his presence. Because see what's happening even today. Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, when Prabhupada first went there, he had nothing. somehow or other he got a little piece of land with great struggle. And now it's one of the most popular temples in all of Vrindavan. Mayapur, he struggled to get some land there. Somehow or other he got a little piece of land in a rice paddy. And now there's thousands and thousands of devotees all over the world there, and they're... And today he's empowering Ambarish and others to build the temple of the Vedic planetarium in New Delhi, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So many incredible temples. Largest book distribution in the history of our society. And His Holiness Jai Patak Maharaj. He's just a teenager, I think. He went to Bengal. He was empowered by Prabhupada. Soon he's speaking Bengali and he's preaching to hundreds and thousands of people in the Bengali language. Even after a massive stroke, he's traveling around the world, inspiring countless. Giriraj Swami was living in a swamp in Juhu, along with people like Sridhar Maharaj and some others, and look what they've done. Hare Krishna land. Prabhupada left with 40 rupees. It's a miracle. The projects, our small family here at Radha Gopinath Temple, the various projects and extension centers. Srila Prabhupada's empowerment is all based on a simple principle. He transforms people's hearts. Because all of these projects we're talking about, and many, many, many more, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more, they've all been established by people who began with practically nothing on behalf of Prabhupada, weren't getting paid anything, were simply doing it out of love for him, in the service of Krishna. That's the foundation of everything within Prabhupada's society. Today, I was asked to offer the aarti for Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja ceremony at Shri Radha Ras Bihari Temple. And as I was waving the ghee lamp as an offering to Srila Prabhupada, I was remembering the time during Srila Prabhupada's physical presence in the world. I was remembering how much at that time and throughout my spiritual life, even today, I had so much honor and respect for those senior devotees who were in Prabhupada's inner core of disciples, who were leading his projects, who risked their lives to go to various places of the world and establish his mission. And as I was offering the aarti, I was remembering how there was always so much joy in my heart to see those devotees do wonderful things. And even more joy in my heart that I could please Prabhupada by assisting them. And not only was I remembering, but I was experiencing how in those days I was never a leader in any managerial or role, organizational role. I was under a person who was under another person. And such people had very little access for personal physical interaction with Srila Prabhupada. But I remember how happy it was, because in trying to please Srila Prabhupada, in trying to follow his instructions, in appreciating other devotees, there was such incredible feeling of Prabhupada's presence, such an incredible joy. And today, I'm in a different role altogether in many ways. But actually, it's the same. By appreciating others' devotional service, by appreciating how others please Prabhupada so much, by remembering the joy of serving Prabhupada as the servant of the servant of the servant, and experiencing that actually that never changes. We're always the servant of the servant of the servant. One time, when Srila Prabhupada came to the community I was living, some of my very senior god sisters, who I honored so much, because they had close relationship with Prabhupada, they made the garland to welcome Srila Prabhupada. And they asked me to place it on Prabhupada. And I was thinking, how could I do that? You know, the very senior leaders, they always do that, not little people like me. They said, the senior leaders always get to do that. We want you to do it. And I said, no, that's not right. And they ordered me. I'm a little brahmachari. They're matajis. I had to obey their order. So they gave me the garland, and I followed Prabhupada in the temple room, and he sat on his vyasasan. And there were several leading devotees of ISKCON and the community who were there. And Prabhupada saw me with the garland and put his head a little lower so I could put it on, and I became so nervous. How could I put this part? You know, there's so many people more qualified, there's so many people more close to Prabhupada. How could I do this? I froze. And Srila Prabhupada was looking at me like, what are you doing? And suddenly I gave the garland to one of the leaders, and he just put it on Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he didn't look at the leader, because he looked at the leader thousands of times. He looked at me, and he nodded his head and smiled, said, yes, you have understood what I want, that you'll be happy to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada's miracle is how every single one of us, during his physical presence today and forever in the future, every single one of us who just appreciate not what we don't have, but what we have. We have the opportunity to serve. We have an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. We have the opportunity to read Prabhupada's books, to distribute his books through our through book distribution, through our words, through our actions. We have the opportunity to serve His projects, to spread His mission. We have every opportunity anyone ever had in whatever position we're in, if we're sincere. And then we understand, as our hearts are transformed, and we're enthusiastic to spread this mission and to carry out Prabhupada's instructions to the best of our capacity, how our life becomes a miracle. Thank you very much.